Good morning. I'm really excited to be able to share with you today in the third week of our You're Invited series. But first, I wanted to start with a little funny story from yesterday, which was I was at home. I have a one-year-old son, Miles, who many of you think is the cutest baby ever. And I agree, too. And we're at home hanging out, and he's eating because he seems to either eat or sleep or get into things he's not supposed to. And so he's eating, and my wife, Marcia, goes, "You know, Miles, tomorrow your dad's preaching in church." And like Miles only knows like four or five words, although he mumbles constantly and is trying to say things. But one of the words he knows is, "Uh-oh." And that was what he said. He goes, "Uh-oh." And I'm like, "Oh, great." Not even my little baby son can, you know, but I thought it was hilarious because he says uh-oh for everything, like what he wants to eat and if he's happy or mad. So I just assumed it was the good uh-oh, not the real uh-oh. But this week, we're continuing our You're Invited series talking about inviting your friends to church. And I just want to recap kind of where we're at. The first week, John talked about the vision of the church and that we want to people to come as they are to the church, that we want them to come wherever they are in their walk with God, whether they've accepted Jesus or know Jesus, or whether they've been a follower of Jesus for a long time. We want them to come to church wherever they're at to experience God. And then last week, Boyd talked about doing ministry for the whole body, mind, and spirit, and that we offered ministries that for all sorts of different purposes. We have, you know, fitness ministries for the body. We have Bible studies for the mind. We have recovery programs for your spirit and all those different kinds of things. And then this week, I'm talking about specifically inviting your friends and being an inviting church, which is in a few weeks, we're having that summer splash kickoff fun event after church. And so I'm really excited about the 25th because we're going to have water games. We're going to have snow. We're going to, like, you can physically buy snow in Arizona, which if you're from the Midwest, you're like, why would you ever want snow? But we're going to have snow, we're going to have music, we're going to have free food and everything. We just want people to invite their friends to come and hang out and experience community here. Next week, we're going to have a prayer and worship service together where we're going to be praying over the 25th. So that's just kind of where we're at. Today, we're talking about, like I said, inviting your friends. And I want you to think for a second about your story. Like, we'll start very broad, like with your life story, like where you've been and where you're going. And then let's think more closely about our faith journey, like where we've been spiritually. And everyone in their story has people that are involved along the way, people that are involved in our lives that help us in our journey of faith. But I want you to go back to the very beginning, before you accepted Jesus, or maybe you're still in that point where you haven't accepted Jesus yet, and you've been invited here for the first time. I want you to think in your mind about that person that was involved in your story that brought you to church for the first time. Maybe it was a friend that invited you. Maybe it was a neighbor. Maybe your parents forced you to go to church as a child and that's how you started going to church. Maybe it was a sibling when you're older, or maybe it was your grandparents or a coworker. It could be a multitude of different people, but I want you to think of a specific person that was involved in your story that invited you to church or brought you to church for the first time. And just kind of keep that in your mind right now. I want to tell you a little bit about my story. The person that invited me for the first time was Heather Temple. And it was in high school. I had moved here from Minnesota, and my family didn't really go to church a lot. Every once in a while we'd go, maybe holidays, but I didn't like it. And I don't think my parents really liked it either. But we went every once in a while, and I went to Sunday school a few times, and I just remember feeling outcast. I remember feeling like I didn't belong and I didn't understand, and they all seemed weird and square to me, and nothing really made sense about it. And church didn't really make sense what they're doing. No one explained anything to me. And so I wanted nothing to do with church. And so I moved here before my freshman year of high school. And I just was okay not needing God. I thought it was okay. I thought everything was fine. You know, like my faith, I didn't need God. I didn't need faith. I didn't need any of that stuff. Like I wasn't doing anything wrong. I thought I was an okay person and everything was fine. And so that's how I was kind of living my life. And then my junior year, Heather Temple came and invited me to come on a Wednesday night. And I said, no, thank you. I was like, I'm fine. Thank you. That's really nice of you. I really appreciate you inviting me to church, but I'm good. I got it figured out. I'm fine. And she was like, okay. And then a few weeks later, she invited me again. And then she invited me again and again. And eventually, but she was really nice about it. She was just saying, I think you'd really enjoy this. I think this is a place where you'd fit in. Because I was in class with a lot of people that went to church here. And so I knew them, and I knew them as that they were Christians, and they were fine, you know, we hung out and nothing was weird about it. But I was like, no, I'm good. I think I'm fine. And then I don't know how many times it was she asked me, and I finally said, okay, I'll come this one time, just once, and then will you please leave me alone? And so I came on a Wednesday night to the wave that we had, and I had all these ideas of what I thought it would be. But when I walked in the room, it wasn't that way. The people were normal. Like, they weren't too weird. Like, they were acting like themselves. They were loving people. They were loving on each other. They loved on me. I was confused. I didn't understand, because I had expected it to be like some of my past experiences, you know? I expected to come to church and to not like it. That was my expectation, so I'd never have to come back again. And it wasn't that way. And I remember a friend of mine now, Brian Cassidy, who just is a goofball, but the way he acted and the way he could just be himself and love Jesus at the same time really made me think. I had to reconfigure my brain around like what is going on here? Who are these people? What are Christians? What are they doing? And that's kind of where my heart opened a little bit. And I was intrigued. I was interested. I wanted to know more. I didn't know who Jesus was. I didn't know anything about, you know, forgiveness of sins or any of that stuff. But these people loved on me, and so I continued to come. And then eventually, you know, my story continues, but we're going to leave it right there for now. But I want you guys to think of that person like a Heather Temple in your life, or your parents, or whoever it was, and I want you to write that down in your bulletin. So you'll see in your bulletin there's just two blanks. I'm simple. So this shouldn't be too hard. So just grab a pencil, grab a pen, and write down the name. A name of someone that was, you know, invited you for the church first time, or the name of the person that maybe helped you in your spiritual walk to accept Jesus. Whatever, however your story is, just think of a person and write them down. And so Jesus was all about reaching people far from God. And so today I want to talk from Matthew 9:9. So if you want to open your Bibles, there's some in the pews. It'll be on the screen. And then also, if you're really technologically advanced, there's a YouVersion app for the iPhone, and you can use that, and you can take notes and get the scriptures on there. I love it. You know, I use it normally when I'm not preaching. So let's start at Matthew 9:9. And Jesus here is the calling of Matthew. So this is when he goes and he calls Matthew to be one of his disciples. And it starts out in verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. And if you just think about it, like, tax collectors then were more despised than we feel about IRS agents today. You know, no one liked the tax collectors. They were known as cheaters. They were known as people who took advantage of everyone, and they had free reign to basically do, you know, tax as they saw fit. So Jesus goes to someone that no one really likes and says, follow me. And Matthew got up and followed him, which is amazing to me when I read it. I'm like, he just, you know, experienced Jesus for a brief second, and Jesus says, follow me, and he just gets up and he goes. I mean, that's amazing to me. And then in verse 10, it moves on and it goes, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. So now here's Jesus who's hanging out with more of these people that no one likes. You know, sinners, tax collectors, the people that are the outcasts and the downtrodden. Jesus invite, you know, they all go over to Matthew's house and they're just hanging out together having dinner. So I'm sure you can guess who's going to be angry about this. The religious people of the day. Just like sometimes we get confused when we see someone hanging out with people that we think they shouldn't be hanging out with. We go, what are they doing with them? why are they with these people? You know, they should be hanging out with us church people, us religious people. We got to figure out. They need to be in our safety circle and not go and venture out. But Jesus says, no, I'm going to hang out with those people. And so in the next verse, in verse 11, it says, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? They're as confused as we are sometimes. They're, you know, they don't understand why Jesus is hanging out with these people that they believe he shouldn't be hanging out with. And of course, Jesus has a response. In verse 12, on hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what it means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. And so that word mercy there is another word for like compassion. He's like, I desire compassion on these people. I desire compassion on these people that you don't like, that you think are outside of everything that, you know, that can't be saved, that aren't following the law of the time, you know, but he desires compassion, not sacrifice, because he's not come to call the righteous religious people. He's come to call the sinners. And so who in your life is far from God? Like in this passage here, Jesus is finding people far from God and bringing them to him. And that's all throughout the Gospels where Jesus is going and hanging out with, you know, prostitutes and people who can't walk and people who have disease and all this stuff. He's going and finding them and reaching them and knowing that if he can just be involved in their life, he can change their life and transform them. So who in your life is far from God? Who in your life is like a Matthew or like me? You know, look at your circle of friends. You know, think of, if you look at your circle of friends and you only have Christian friends or religious friends, you might need to look outside of that and be like, and understand other people and go volunteer somewhere or go do something. You know, maybe at your workplace, maybe there's people in your work that are far from God that could use Jesus. Maybe you're on like sports teams or something like that, or like I swim. So like there's people there that I talk to all the time who aren't religious or aren't Christians. And you know, maybe that's in your circle of friends. I mean, there's many different areas in our life where we can look and see where there are people far from God. And we desire here as a church to be a community that is a light, that we're a light in the community. And that's why in our vision we say that, because in your circle of friends, you can be the light of Jesus to them. And same with this church as a whole, like we can be as a collective unit, the light of Jesus in this community. And that people can come as they are, no matter where they're at in their life, whether they, you know, whether they're going through a divorce or they're going through a drug usage, or they're like, you know, think everything's okay and think life is just fine. Wherever they are, they can come. They don't have to fix themselves first to come to church. They just need to come to church to experience God. So like I said, I was far from God. Like in my story, I thought everything was fine. I thought there wasn't anything wrong with me. You know, I wasn't doing anything too bad, and I was just hanging out and enjoying school. Well, that's a lie. I didn't enjoy school. I was doing fine in school. Don't listen. But it took an invitation. It took someone who was acting like Jesus to see that I was far from God and invite me to church. It took someone with the courage to do that and to do it in a loving way that wasn't shoving anything down my throat, but just saying, hey, I think you'd really like this, and come hang out with us. So why do we make inviting such a big deal? You know, like when we talk about inviting people to church, like some of us get the quivers or we're like, you know, I don't want to do that. That seems a little weird. You know, we invite people to things all the time. We invite people out to dinner. We invite people to parties. We invite people over to our house, all sorts of things, you know, and maybe it's more like asking someone out on a date. You know, that gets us a little nervous, like we do asking people to come to church. You know, like for me, if I, back in the day when I would ask people out on dates, like my hands got sweaty, my heart was beating fast. I was like, well, I don't know if they really want like me or want to go out on a date with me. And maybe, you know, maybe I should just text them to ask them out, or maybe I should use the phone, or no, maybe in person or something like that. You know, we get all nervous about it. So that's why I met my wife online, because I didn't have to worry about any of that, you know. It's news for you who didn't know that. But so why do we make this such a big deal? Why is inviting people to church, to something that we believe is can change people's lives, why do we make it a big deal? Jesus has a little bit to say about spreading the gospel. And if you turn to Matthew 28, he commands us to reach people that are far from him. And so we're at the end of Matthew's gospel here, Matthew 28. And so just to kind of set it up a little bit, let's find it here. So Jesus has been, you know, doing his ministry, has the disciples, and he has now been crucified on a cross. And he's told his disciples that he'll be raised from the dead. And this is kind of where the story leaves off. And Mary and the other Mary Magdalene and the other Mary come to the tomb after Jesus has been crucified to come see the tomb. And an angel appears to them, and Jesus isn't there. And so they're a little bit of course, the angel comes and says, "Do not be afraid," which is the standard lingo, I think, of like being an angel. The first thing you have to say is, "Do not be afraid." Because obviously, if you saw an angel, I mean, your first reaction is to be afraid. And so the angel tells Mary, both the Marys, to go and tell the disciples. Go and tell them that Jesus has been raised from the dead and is going to come back to tell them and give them further instruction. And they say, tell the disciples to go to Galilee to meet him. So that's where we start in verse 16, where it starts, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. So I can only imagine what the disciples are thinking right now. Like, here they are following this person for a few years, and he's doing all these miracles. He's healing these people. He's telling them, and they believe that he's the savior of the world. And now he's dead, and they're waiting for him to be raised from the dead and to fulfill his prophecy. And they get a note from, you know, the two ladies go to tell him, go to Galilee. Jesus is going to be there. I can only imagine the conversations on the way there. Do you think this is really happening? Or is this true? Blah, blah, blah. But it's amazing. Like, they go because this is what they've been told to do. And when they saw him in verse 17, they worshiped him, but some doubted. So even through this process of following Jesus, seeing what he's doing, him being crucified on a cross, coming back from the dead and appearing to them, some of them still had a little bit of doubt. And I think we can all relate to that a little bit. There's always times in our faith journey where we don't understand something or something doesn't make sense. And so there's a little bit of doubt there. It doesn't mean that like God's forsaken us or God's forgotten us or anything like that, or that we're doubting, like that we're a bad person or anything. It's a natural reaction when stuff is happening that we don't understand, to doubt and to try to understand what's going on. So this feels very real to me. And then in verse 18, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to pause there for a second and go back to all nations. That part really speaks to me. And it's not saying go and tell all of the religious people of the time. And it's like, don't go and tell the Romans about it, or go and tell the Galileans about it. It's go and tell all nations, all people far from God and any walks of life need to hear this news, Jesus is saying. And so that's a really important part of this passage. And then he concludes it in verse 20 by saying, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so the idea is to go out and make disciples of all nations, to bring people in and to train them in the way of being like Jesus and teaching them to obey the things that he's commanded us. It's not a go out and save and be righteous right away kind of thing. Our faith journey is a progression. All of us are on a journey and we're all in different parts. And it's kind of like a first date. We the first time we go on a date with someone, we don't instantly get married. At least most of us don't. You know, you go on a date and then you go on another date and then you go on a few more and then your relationship progresses. And that's what it can be like with Jesus, is that inviting them to church is just a first step to come and experience a little bit of God, to come and experience Jesus' forgiveness and love of other Christians. And then the next time they come, they learn a little bit more. And then the next time, their heart softens a little bit more. And so a lot of times we think of when we invite people to church that like they need to be ready to like accept Jesus like right now. But that's not how it always works. That's not how it worked for me. I came for many months to the youth group, and I listened, and I was reading the Bible, and I didn't know anything. I didn't know what forgiveness meant. I didn't know what Jesus' resurrection meant. I didn't know any of this. So I had to process and learn and think about it. And it took about 8 months of me just coming and experiencing God before I finally was ready to give my life over to him, where I would understand what that meant. And so a lot of us, when we're inviting people to church, we just have to extend the invitation. We put a lot of pressure on what that means. But I believe that if we believe that the story of Jesus is true and transforming, how can we not share that with people far from God? You know, we've read these two stories in the Bible, and Jesus is reaching those people far from God. And we believe, those of us who are Christ followers today, we believe that the story of Jesus is true. We believe Jesus was here 2,000 years ago, that he walked on the earth, that he was fully God, fully human, and that he lived a perfect life and died on the cross and rose from the dead to forgive us of our sins, of all the things we've done wrong, of all of the wickedness inside of us. He forgave us. We believe that's true. And we also believe that that news, that story of Jesus is transforming, like that it transforms our lives. It makes us better. It makes us want to be more like Jesus. So if we believe those things are true, how can we not share that with people? How can we not invite people to church? How can we stay here in the church and just talk to each other and not talk to anyone else? That's not what Jesus is telling us to do. He's telling us to go out and find those people far from him, the ones that don't know who he is, and bring them together with a community of faith to experience his love and forgiveness. So what now? So what do we do about this? How do we reconcile this thought of inviting people to church, and that if we have this passion in us that we have to share this with people? Remember that person that you wrote down at first. So for me, it was Heather Temple. Just remember what that was like when they invited you, or how that changed the course of your life. To whom can you be that person? To whom can you be a Heather Temple to in your life? Who in your circle of friends, or your coworkers, or activities you're a part of, who can you be like Jesus to and reach them and invite them to church? Who is God putting on your heart? And I want to take a second for you to think and pray about that. And then on the second line, I want you to write down that name or that family or whatever God's put into your mind. For me, that person's Trent. And Trent's a guy that I swim with at ASU. And he's a really fun guy. And we hang out at swimming and joke around. And he knows I'm a pastor. And he has lots of questions about what I do and why I am the way I am, and like, and all those kinds of things. And it sounds very familiar to my story, so I relate a lot to it. But he's the person I'm going to invite, him and his family, on the 25th. And I'm just going to say, hey, Trent, come hang out. Come check us out. And join us for community afterwards. And God will work in his heart in some way. We believe that here. We believe that during our events and services and things going on here, that God is present. And it's not our job to change people. That's what God does. It's what Jesus does in our lives. We just have to bring them here to hear the message. So I want you to write down your name and think about it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your transforming power in our lives. Thank you that you, 2,000 years ago, came to save us from ourselves, and that you cared so much about all of us that you wanted to reach every one of us that was far from God. And Lord, this week and next week, I want to pray for the names that everyone wrote down. I want to pray that they would have the courage and conviction to go talk to those people with a kind invitation to come hang out with us. It's through your transforming power that lives are changed. And we're just the hands and feet of you to go out and do the work. Be with us this week as we pray for these names. Amen.